The scripture reading today is Malachi 2:17 through 3:18. Malachi 2:17. We hear the infallible word of Holy God. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout out against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked more fully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to one another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. May God bless his holy word. We have entered Advent season, a period to look forward to Christmas, the first coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to us about 2,000 years ago, and actually we are looking back to Jesus. But what would those who before Jesus knew about the upcoming Messiah? Let's go back to the ancient time of Malachi, about 400 years before Jesus came. Malachi lived almost 2.5 million years ago, and the burden of the Word of God to Israel came to the prophet Malachi. That's mentally return to the old ancient days before Jesus and look forward to the coming of Messiah. Jesus would be the most crucial person in the whole human history, and the supreme design of the salvation, God has a perfect design for him. Now, we look from the perspective of prophet Malachi. The sermon text tonight is 2:17 through 3:4. God's message to Israel is this: God of justice will come and purify the son of Levi. Before we hear Malachi's prophecy about the Lord, let us first hear about the context of that history and that passage today. Due to the amount of information in this passage, I can only preach on the context and the prophecy of the Lord. And I have to leave out the verse 5, the third point, the prophecy about the judgment. The context of this prophecy. After the kingdom of David and Solomon, Israel had been declining steadily despite God's constant warning. Finally, God judged Israelites and they were exiled to Assyria and Babylon. However, God proved himself merciful and faithful as he opened ways for the remnant of Israel return to the promised land. At the time of Malachi, almost 100 years has passed since their return from the exile. The holy temple has been rebuilt and the priesthood has been restored. But the spiritual condition was sad. The priests were corrupt. They dishonored God's name by offering disabled animals. They did not put the law in their hearts and made many stumble. Not only priests were corrupt, the people too. They broke covenant by being unfaithful to their brothers and to their wives. They even misjudged God and neglect tithe. The picture was dark, but God of light spoke to the Israel by the prophet Malachi. God exposed and rebuked them to awaken them from careless and dead worship and to restore them to true religion. To achieve rebuking and restoring, God used 6 disputations with Israel. And our text is the 4th disputation with Israel. And this passage starts from 2 verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. This is charged against Israelites by the prophet Malachi. Ye refers to the Israelites as a nation, also as each individual. The prophet Malachi charges the Israelites that they had made Lord weary or tiresome with their words. This is a human expression about God. God does not change. He does not change from non-tiredness to tiredness. We all have some experience with weariness, getting tired of something, and getting impatient about something. Malachi was using this human experience to tell the Israel that God has worn out his long suffering. What can make Jehovah grow tired with your words? What they spoke among themselves mattered to God, the omniscient God. And God is worn out the long suffering patience toward Israel. Malachi accused the Israelites and they talked back. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? With our words? With what words have we wearied him? The prophet pointed out the proof of their wearisome and blasphemous words. When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. The verb form of this word, doeth, has a meaning of continual doing, habitual performing, and progressing. One that doeth evil is obviously the wicked one whose lifestyle is doing evil. It would be surprising if they can do some good. The blaspheming Israelites said a wicked one is good in the eyes of the Lord. They viewed God not just as indifferent God who did not punish the wicked and maintain justice, but also as completely unjust God who turns upside down who is righteous and who is wicked. They complained that God viewed the wicked good, not for some wicked people, but everyone. A corrupt human judge may judge some wicked ones to be good. It is unimaginable for a judge to view every and single one of the wicked as good in his sight. If so, this judge would be totally repulsive to all people and be disastrous to his judicial districts. It would be complete darkness to have such a judge, human judge. And this is their view of God. Not only they charged God that God viewed every wicked one as good, but also that God delighted in them. In original language, in them is emphasized. In them, God delights. Delighted involves joy and pleasure. They are saying that God take all evildoers as his joy and delight. This blasphemous assertion is completely contrary to God and his word. It would be shocking to those who heard it. Therefore, the self-righteous Israelites give proof or argument to support their statement. Or, where is the God of judgment? They said, or, if this is not the case. If God is not viewing the wicked good and does not delight in them, then where is God of judgment? Where is God of justice? God of fairness? God of righteousness in judgment? If God is God of justice, how can we see the wicked unpunished and even prosper? The Israelites not only questioned God of justice and even reasoned that God was so completely unjust that he actually viewed the evildoers as good and delighted in them. These questioning Israelites were not pious people. From the context, we know that they married heathen wives, divorced their own wives of their youth, and robbed God of tithe. Even these impious Israelites were questioning God, thinking that God was completely unjust. We may not go as far as to think God delights in the wicked, but are we questioning God sometimes? Do we think God is unfair sometimes? Do we complain why God allowed this to happen, especially allow wicked to go unpunished or even prosper? How can this be? These words and thoughts matter, and they weary the Lord. This God is most righteous and just, and we are totally unrighteous and unjust. We are no better than these blasphemous Israelites. May we repent speedily. May God forgive us. When such thoughts came to our minds and such words even came out of our mouth gate, these words matters to the Lord. It was in this context God spoke to Israel. What would God speak to these blasphemous Israelites? God graciously directed them to the upcoming Messiah. Before Malachi prophesied directly about this coming Lord, he prophesied about a forerunner. Verse 1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." Behold, God is saying very important thing to them. Why behold? God is sending his messenger soon, and the messenger will carry very important message. And also, he shall prepare the way before God. This combination of messenger and preparing the way reminds us of a herald. This messenger will be a herald before a very important person. Before whom? Before me, God said. Is God coming? This would be shocking. Who is this very important person? After the Herod. Verse 1, "And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And the Lord. God changed from me to the Lord. This very important person after Herod is called me, but then it become the Lord, the small Lord. The first letter is capital, but the other three is Lord, small Lord. The use of this first person, me, and the third person, Lord, together, indicates that the very important person are different, but somehow they are one. This Lord may be mysterious. The Lord is coming. His coming will be sudden. His coming will be at a very unexpected timing. Although a herald will come first, and the people will hear about the coming of the Lord, but still, his coming is unexpected. Very sudden. The Lord may not be the one you have expected. The Lord's sudden coming is coming to his temple. The temple is his temple. Who can say that temple is his temple? This again gives us the hint that this coming Lord is God himself. The Lord is coming to the temple. Jesus did enter into the temple, and nobody could abide and stand before him. He drove out those who sold oxen, sheep and doves, and those who exchanged money. But one thing is noteworthy. His coming is summarized in coming to his temple. We know that Jesus came to many places, but his entering into his literal temple does not seem to summarize all his coming. This Jesus gives us a hint about the temple. John 2:19, verse 21. 2:21. After Jesus has cleansed the temple, he said this: destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. But he spake of the temple of his body. When we look back the entire life of Jesus on earth, we can see that his coming can be summarized in his coming to his body. He took him to himself, his human nature, died on the cross, and was resurrected in the same body. His summary of Jesus' first coming is the death and the resurrection of his human nature. In a hidden way, God told these blasphemous Jews that God will come in flesh, and Herod will prepare his way. How unexpected this could be. God in flesh. Jesus came to his body at his temple. He then ascended and sent his spirit to resurrect the children of God to be his temple. Jesus came to his temple and now came to you, dear child of God. In Bethlehem, Jesus came to the womb of Virgin Mary and dwelt with the human nature. He came to his temple, and now he dwells in us. Christmas is coming. Jesus not only came to the womb of Virgin Mary, but also he later came to you by the Spirit to make you his temple. Virgin Mary is called the Blessed Virgin Mary, and you are also blessed to have Jesus to dwell in you. Do you view yourself as temple for Jesus? Do you come to worship Jesus every day as his temple, as the temple of your body is his temple? Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. He dwells in the temple. Dear children of God, he has taken human nature forever. He will never depart from us. He will be God and man, not just for the time of cross. Then he can take off the human nature. No, he keeps this human nature forever so that he can always be with you. God's description about God's coming shows that God himself is coming and coming to his temple. What is more said about this Lord? This Lord will be the Lord of justice. Verse 1, and the Lord whom ye seek. These people actually were not seeking the Lord in general because they thought God was unjust. But here, ye seek refers back to the chapter 2, verse 17. Where is God of judgment? They were seeking God of justice and could not find it. And God told them that whom ye seek is this Lord. Also, the Lord will be the messenger of the covenant. This messenger will be on a mission regarding the covenant. This covenant must be extremely important because the Lord, the God Himself, is but a messenger. Then, what is this very important covenant? The near context of the sons of Levites and also offering in verse 3 and 4 guides us to look backward to chapter 2. And it talks about the covenant with the Levi. Chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And ye priests shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace. In Numbers 25, 12 and 3, the Lord says to Moses, wherefore say, behold, I gave unto him my, him is Phinehas, a priest. I gave unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, his seed and after him, even the covenant of everlasting priesthood. The covenant with Levi concerns everlasting priesthood. The Lord is coming to the messenger, coming to be the messenger of this very important covenant. He will be commissioned for this covenant. And this mission will impact eternal priesthood. The covenant of Levi in hindsight, we know that all children of God are priests of the Lord. This priesthood is forever. We will be serving the Lord forever with holiness and righteousness. And this is because the Lord completed his mission. God revealed to Israel about the person of this Lord. And then God is going to tell about the work of this Lord. But before, let's look at the work, the working material. Verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? Malachi was using strong words to emphasize that none, not even single one, can stand at all for a moment when God of judgment comes. How can a person know that he absolutely cannot abide or stand in the judgment? For he is like, the Lord is like a refiner's fire. And like fuller's soap. We think highly of ourselves when we compare with others, especially with those who are worse than us. We think good of ourselves until we encounter Jesus the Lord. Jesus is like refiner's fire. And in heat, our dross come up. And our true colors appear. Boys and girls, when you hand wash something with a soap, the water will get dirty as the soap will get the dirt out of your clothes. Christ is like a launderer's soap, and dirt of your soul is before you because of this cleansing soap. The Lord will be soap. Sometimes we think Jesus is like a spotless white garment, so pure and so perfect. We are like filthy rags. Jesus is much more than a perfect white garment. He's also a soap. He comes to the filthy rags, touches filthy bodies, intermingle with sinners, and cleanse them. He is not a perfect white garment that is afraid of being with these filthy rags. Try as much as possible, as the Pharisees, to stay clean, to avoid pollution. He is the soap to seek the filthy rags. Touch them. Cleanse them. Because he loves them. The Lord would be fuller's soap. Fuller means launderer. Professional launderer. Jesus does not clean others' filthy rags occasionally when he has some free time. His job is to clean. And his whole person is called soap. From the context, we could infer that this fuller's soap is not a regular fuller's soap. Must be a supreme fuller's soap. No one can abide or stand as clean before this cleansing soap and fire. And in the meantime, it means that everybody is filthy, and his workload to clean is huge. This supreme fuller's soap is sent by God from heaven to cleanse huge mountain-like filthy rags. Here, dear friends, God is like a soap. He can easily discard filthy, discolored rags. But God is like a soap to clean them. God is a fuller's soap. Is this not an extremely good news to you today? He would be able to cleanse any dirty clothes. Do you feel you are not good enough to come to the Lord? Do you think you are too sinful to be saved? Come as you are, with your filthy souls. He is the divine soap for you. The working material would be saddening and a huge load, as none can stand and endure. then facing with such huge amount of filthy rags, how would he work? The Lord is coming. And this Lord is God and also mysterious. And he come as a messenger of the covenant. And he is going to work. How does he work? Verse 3. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall sit. He will sit down to purify these people. The overall posture of Jesus' ministry on earth is portrayed as sitting. Sitting as a refiner and purifier. We may have impression of Jesus that he was so busy that he even did not have some time to eat. This is true. But here, the prophecy of the Malachi says the overall image of this Lord is sitting. Jesus working as a purifier. The sitting implies calmness, quietness, patience, seriousness, etc. Jesus deals with each soul with long suffering and controls the fire levels and durations precisely. He sits down to watch each one of us to make sure the Father's plan is accomplished in us. Although he was busy and surrounded by many needs, and physically he was moving from one village to another, but spiritually he was sitting down to do this thing as a refiner and a purifier of savor. Do you feel you are still too sinful after so many years? Do you wonder whether God has given up? Do you constantly find new draws coming up every day and even yourself are sick of yourself? He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of savor. He is long-suffering, and he will finish his work which he has started in you with long-suffering. Look to Jesus. If you are getting impatient with yourself, impatient with your spouse, with your children, look at the sitting Jesus who is purifying them. The Lord's manner of work is sitting, and what is content of his working? And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. His job is to purify and purge as God and savior. None is qualified to be stored into heavenly treasure house without his cleansing and purifying. We all know that purifying and purging gold and silver require fire and skills. Jesus sends fire to his redeemed. He controls when he would send the fire, how much intensity, and how long. He watches the dross coming up and observes the gold getting purer. He knows the pains and hears the cries. Jesus intercedes for his people. Jesus is tender and full of mercy. He would not allow fire to overwhelm you. And he is the perfect in doing so. Dear believers, are you in such painful situation as in fire? Look to Jesus. He is the most merciful and tender-hearted purifier. He is a great physician, cutting your tissues with knives. He will make sure you are all right. And he does not make any mistakes. And he has never had any failure case. He is both your creator, redeemer, and purifier. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The content of working is to purify and purge. And then, who are the object of his working? And he shall purify the sons of Levi. Who are the sons of Levi? Numbers 3, verses 11 through 13 says, "And the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, I, behold, have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborns." That openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. "Therefore, the Levites are mine. Because all the firstborns are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in the Israel, both men and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord." The sons of Levi represent all the firstborns in Israel and are the special property of the Lord. They were entrusted with the service of the temple, and their lives was to serve the Lord. Jesus will come to his temple and come to purify the sons of Levi. His property, his chosen people. The chosen people of God for his service are the object of his working. Then what is purpose of his working? That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. The verb form of "they may offer" in Hebrew indicates repeated, continuous, or characteristic actions. Offering is their continual action, and they devote themselves to offering. Not only do they continually offer, but also they offer unto the Lord. Unto the Lord is emphasized here in original language. How easily a man can offer continuously, but offer to another God. The sons of Levi are the first fruits of Israel, and they are purely devoted to God, and they will be purified, and their offering will be offering unto the Lord. Unto the Lord they will be offering, and they will be offering in righteousness. Offering in righteousness means offering according to the law, the standard of righteousness. These purified holy priests will offer in righteousness. They have the knowledge of the law, and they conduct themselves in righteousness holy. They will be new men with knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And they have the image of God. After such purification, they are after the image of God, which is Christ. Such is the purpose of the Lord's purifying. And what would be the result of his work? Then, verse 4, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. The offering of Judah and Jerusalem refers to the offering of whole Israel. The work of the priest is to offer offerings of the whole Israel unto the Lord in the holy temple. When the priests are purified, the offering to the Lord is pleasant unto the Lord. What is like pleasant unto the Lord? Malachi points them to the old days, as in the days of the old and as in former years. The first ever offering pleasant to the Lord is Abel's offering. He brought the firstborns of his flock unto the Lord at their fat. The second recorded offering pleasant to the Lord is Noah's offering of the clean animal immediately after the salvation. Many offerings in the old time pleased the Lord and was before us for our examples. The offering will be pleasing to the Lord when the priests are purified. This reminds us of our ultimate high priest, Jesus Christ. Because of his purity and his righteousness, the offering of whole church is pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years, all because of Jesus. Are you confident that your offering will be pleasant because of Jesus the high priest? Come to the Lord with joyfulness, as this coming Lord makes everything perfect. He is the high priest, and we are the little priests, dear children of God. And our offerings are pleasant to God because of Jesus. In summary, in the context of misjudging God in blasphemous words, God spoke to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Malachi prophesied that the God of justice will come, and he will purify the son of Levi. No one can stand by themselves, but the Lord is not just a consuming fire. He is a refining fire as well. He will purify the sons of Levites so that the whole offering will be pleasing unto the Lord. And he came as a messenger of the covenant that this priesthood may be eternal, and we can be in the temple as a priest forever and more. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that within me, bless his holy name. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord of hosts, the sender of Jesus Christ, in this Advent season, as we go back to Malachi's time to look to Jesus, we confess that before the conversion, we were as blasphemous as these Israelites. We were as self-righteous as these Israel people. We thank thee for sending thy Son into thy temple, that we can not only be received, but be cleansed. Not only be cleansed, but be ordained to be priests in this temple. Who are we, our Lord? Why hast thou been mind of us? This is the mystery. The love is more than we can fathom. Lord, humble us and give us heart to bless thy holy name. We pray that thy advent may continue to come to thy temple, especially those who are like the Israelites in the dark time, but are still thinking righteously, thinking, where is God? Why so much things happen? Lord, if thou come with a consuming fire, who can stand? But praise thee, thou come to refine us. We pray that thou might soften our hearts and convert those who do not know thee, and strengthen those who know thee, especially strengthen those who are in fire. Lord, give them eyes to look at thee, and they may be comforted. Bless thy name. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Dear church family, since Isaac and Lydia Epp and their son Abraham will be leaving us on Tuesday for Picture Butte, Alberta, where Isaac hopes to be ordained as a minister on December 16, Lord willing, After we sing Psalter 13, let us also sing 345, To Wisdom Well. Dear Isaac Alp, and your family, on behalf of the congregation, we also want to wish you Godspeed in your long trip, and especially for your future ministry in Alberta. We will miss you greatly in our church family, but pray that God will use you abundantly for His people and for the conversion of many unsaved people to the glory of our Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for all the work you have done, especially with our young people in the last several years. And thanks to you too, Lydia, for all you have done throughout your life to support this church in which you were baptized and grew. Be assured of our ongoing prayers for you both, and also for your dear son, Abraham, that he will find good friends in Alberta, and above all, come to know the Lord Jesus, the best friend ever, who will never fail him. May the Lord also grant you a safe and good delivery of your expected child several weeks from now. Before we sing, I would like to leave you with this text on behalf of our church family. But our God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.